I said, you were my shepherd, you are my all in all. And if by chance I'd stumble, you would break my fall. But these were merely words I spoke when others were around, until I saw what you would do when I was alone and down. And Jesus, you're everything to me, and you have provided all my needs. When I thought there was no way, you led me to a brighter day. And Jesus, you're everything to me. To think you formed the heavens, poured out the rushing seas. You carved the mighty mountains in their majesty. Such glory in your kingdom, O Lord, how could it be that you would take the time to be my every breath to me? And Jesus, you're everything to me, and you have provided all my needs. When I thought there was no way, you led me to a brighter day. And Jesus, you're everything to me. When I thought there was no way, you led me to a brighter day. And Jesus, you're everything. Jesus, my everything. Jesus, you're everything to me.
We'll take the word of God tonight. Thank you very much. Acts chapter number 20. Great song, and I appreciate that in a special way. Acts chapter number 20. And let's look in verse number 17 tonight. And I'm praying God will use this message. I want to preach to you on this subject. Don't be moved. Don't be moved. I believe we live in a society today that is moving from what we know as to be sound doctrine in the Bible. They're moving from the truth. But let's talk about God's people. I'm afraid that sometimes God's people can be moved from the truth. They're moved. I think all of us know of people that we've known that at one time they were strong, they were sure, they were steadfast on the truth of God's word. But over time, maybe through discouragement or maybe through trials, they've been moved. I think all of us know people like that. Maybe if you knew someone that had a good, sweet spirit about serving the Lord, and maybe they've had some hardship and trials, they've been moved from that. Now they no longer serve the Lord. Tonight, how can we keep from being moved? Now the devil wants to move us. Now when I talk about being moved, he wants to take us on the wrong path. He wants to get us off of the path where we are knowing God's blessing. I don't want to be moved. When we come to Acts chapter number 20, we understand that Paul is coming to the very closure of his life and ministry. And Paul now is, he's been delivered from Ephesus to continue the mighty work that God has given him to do. And on his final visit to that area, he sent for the Ephesian elders to bid them farewell. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is giving them his farewell. And he leaves with them some final remarks. And one of the biggest things is, don't be moved. Now we know that Paul was a man that was greatly used of God. Paul went through imprisonment. He went through beatings. He went through scourging. I mean, Paul suffered greatly. And yet Paul was not moved. In fact, I studied something about Paul. Paul traveled some 12,350 miles on his missionary journeys. Now, by the way, that's without the aid of a vehicle, a plane, or anything. I mean, Paul walked or no doubt rode different animals. He evangelized about 1,500 square miles in 16 years. Paul was sick most of the time and needed the constant help of Luke, yet he continued to be faithful to God. You know, Paul wasn't moved. I want to ask you something tonight. Will you be moved? What will move you? What will bring you to the place where you say, you know what? I'll stay in church, but I'm just not going to do what I used to do for the Lord. Or I'll keep going, but my spirit's not going to be there. You know, the ideal of being moved is that your heart is not in it. And maybe, no doubt, your heart is not in it, and therefore your mind is not in it, and you're moved from what God has given you. Tonight, don't be moved. Let's look at our passage. Acts chapter 20, we come to verse number 17. Let's read throughout verse number 32. And I may take a moment and stop and share something with you as we read through these verses. Acts chapter 20, and let us begin, if you would please, in verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. I think that's interesting. Paul said, we've had seasons. You know something? A church has seasons. Now, I don't like winter, right? How many else would raise your hand and say you don't like winter? All right? And my grandfather would say it's God's judgment on us for living in the Midwest, all right? I don't know, all right? But winter's everywhere, you know? I don't care for winter. I like summer. I like spring. I like fall. But we need winter. And you know, sometimes in our own personal lives, we have the winter season. We have the rainy season. We have the cloudy season in our lives. Churches go through. And Paul said, I have been with you at all seasons. We read on here, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. By the way, the only way to serve the Lord is with humility of mind. That is such an important thing. Listen, all of us, we are just to be servants. That's what God has called us to be. And Paul said, I serve the Lord with humility of mind. And then look what he says in verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But I want you to notice in verse 24, this happens to be my life verse, Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Now, that I guess that can apply to my wife, Joy, but also with joy in the ministry, all right? Isn't that great how God just put that in there for me, all right? But anyway, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Let's go back to verse 24 and notice what he says. But none of these things move me. Now, I think it's significant what Paul said, none of these things move me. What was these things? Well, the trials that Paul went through, the rejection that Paul went through. In fact, do you know, Paul talked about Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul talked about how that no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with him. I mean, Paul suffered friendships that they betrayed him and forsook him. Paul suffered when he suffered physically. I believe there was physical things. I believe if you looked at Paul's body, I mean, the man had suffered through sickness and shipwreck, and he had suffered in many ways. Paul dealt with so many things physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And you know what Paul said? None of these things move me. Now, I think that Paul was saying they could have moved me. It could have caused me to quit. It could have caused me to say, if this is what the ministry is about, I'm done, I'm finished. And I think that is the temptation for each and every one of us. Right. By the way, folks, I'm going to tell you something. A part of serving the Lord is being hurt and being wounded. It's a part of life. It is a part of being in the ministry. It's a part of serving the Lord. But I'll tell you what some people have done. They get hurt. They get maybe betrayed. They get misunderstood, whatever it may be, and they just close in. They don't want to love again because, listen, it's costly to love people. When you love people, you are vulnerable to people. And I think Paul was saying, it didn't move me. None of those things moved me. How others treated me and how people forsook me and the Jews and all the things that happened to me. It did not move me from what God had given me to do.
Amen.
I don't want to be moved. But I'm going to tell you something. There's been times in my life through the 23 years that I've been in the ministry, there's been times when I've wanted to just say, that's it. I'm done. I can't go on. The hurt is too much. The pain is too much. And the sorrow is too much. It doesn't seem like it's worth it. And that's why the Bible says that we are not to be weary and well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But the temptation to faint is there. The temptation to quit. The temptation to I kind of have the ideal that we don't want anybody to come near us. I've met Christians like that. They have been hurt. They have been wounded. They have gone through many trials and heartaches and hardships in life to where now it's almost as if, don't come near me. I can't be hurt again. Paul said, none of those things move me. Now, brethren, we live in a constantly changing society. I think we all know that. You know, is it not something that in our society, one thing they say one day and then the next day, no, that's not right. We're changing, all right? How many understands what I'm talking about, all right? Yeah, we've lived that way. We live in a changing society because they have no compass. They have no guide. They have no foundation. And brethren, we live in an uncertain world, but one thing that we can be sure of is an unchanging God. Amen. We can rest in that. In fact, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I don't want to be moved. And tonight, How can we keep them being moved? I believe in Acts chapter 20, it gives us the ingredients. It gives us Paul's counsel to the church and to those Christians. And he's even speaking to pastors here, how we can stop from being moved. May God help us not to be moved. Let me give you some things tonight. Very simple. I pray that God can use it. Number one, if we're not going to be moved, I want you to notice what the Bible says. Let's go back to verse 27. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Number one, if you don't want to be moved, do not shun any counsel of God. Don't shun any counsel. Now, the idea of shunning something is that I don't want to take that. I only want to take part of it. You know, for instance, how many would say that you are a picky eater? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? All right? Okay. But how many would say you just eat whatever's there in front of you? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? All right? Okay. That's good. I know Brother Bob Gray, him and his wife Barbara, they haven't been able to be with us for a while. And dear people that love the Lord, I used to periodically go to eat with Brother Gray as we'd go out visiting or something like that. And, you know, it didn't matter whatever it was. He liked it, you know. It just didn't matter what it was. And he told me, he said, "I grew up on the farm to where whatever was put before you, that's what you had to eat. And if you didn't eat it, you didn't get anything else." All right. How many grew up that way? Would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. But, you know, some of us were a little more picky. All right. You know, there are certain things I just can't eat. I don't think God intended us to eat certain things. All right. You know, Brussels sprouts. I mean, Lord help us, you know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the devil planted that. I don't know, you know, but I just don't know. How many likes Brussels sprouts? Would you raise your hand? Okay, I'm in trouble tonight. That's about 90% of our church, you know. So anyway, all right. How many doesn't like Brussels sprouts? We need to start a club, all right. That's what we need to do, all right. You know, I just can't get past the smell, you know. If it's supposed to be good, it should smell good. Well, but anyway, you know, there are certain things that I just, you know, I kind of pick and choose, you know. And I've been in third world countries on missions trips where, you know, they fed us and I'd eat it. And the whole time I'm eating it, I'm thinking, "Lord, help me to keep this down because I have no idea what it is that I'm putting into my body," you know. But I don't want to offend them. And now, if you feed me something, I don't care to offend you, all right? I just want to eat it, all right? But anyway, okay? But, you know, oftentimes we want to pick and choose. We understand that with our food. Like, hey, I'm not taking that, you know. I'll pick this right here. But I wonder, do we do that with the counsel of God? Do we want to pick and choose what we will believe? Do we want to pick and choose what we will obey from God's Word? And the ideal here is that Paul was saying to them, "I declared unto you the entire counsel of God. I didn't hold back certain things." By the way, brethren, let me tell you something. There are certain things that's easy to preach on, and there's some things that are not easy to preach on. There's some things that I know it's uncomfortable for me to preach on it, and it's uncomfortable for you to listen to it. You see, but I am to declare the entire counsel of God. Amen. I am not to say, "Well, you know, I don't want everybody to like me, so I'm only going to give this message." There's some preachers like that today, but we should not be Christians like that today. That's right. You see, the ideal is some people want to pick and choose what they will and will not listen to, and what they will and will not obey from God. Paul said, "I didn't pick and choose. I gave you all of what the Bible has to say." Brethren, by the way, you ought to thank God for a church that takes a stand just like that, that declares the entire counsel of God's Word. But let us be church members to where we come to church and we say, "God, I'm not here to decide what I will accept and what I will refuse. I am here to accept all of the counsel of God's Word." Amen. I'm here to take it all. I'm here to accept it all. I am here to be obedient to what the Lord has given me to do. Brethren, if you're not going to be moved, number one, do not shun any counsel of God. By the way, we must learn to say yes to Jesus Christ when God speaks to us. By the way, The last place that you refuse to obey the Lord is the last place that you stopped growing as a Christian. The last place. I remember years ago, and you know, so by the way, and when someone leaves our church, I cannot tell you how much it hurts the pastor. And I know people may say you shouldn't take it personal, but I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. I love people. But I remember years ago, we had someone leave the church because I preached against alcohol. And they were upset. They were upset at me for that. And I kindly and graciously talked with them and I said, look, I believe this is what the Bible teaches and I can show you from the Bible. But they wanted nothing to do that. You know, it was the ideal that what I gave them from the Bible, they enjoyed until I got to that one thing. You know, some people might say, preacher, you went from preaching to meddling, you know? You understand what I'm saying? But folks, can I tell you something? If it is the counsel of God's Word, if it is the truth of the Scripture, then let us not shun any counsel of God. Amen. Let us take God's Word at its face value. Let us look at the Bible and say, if that is what the Bible says, then that is how I'm going to live. That is how God wants us. Do not be moved. Do not shun any counsel of God. Number two, notice this. Let's go to verse 28. The Bible says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. By the way, can I kind of go backwards here a little bit? The Bible says here that over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. I believe Paul is speaking to some pastors who no doubt are pastoring these local assemblies. And Paul says, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Let me explain something to you, and I believe that we understand this. But God calls a pastor to oversee a church, not because he's better than anybody else, not because he's wiser than anybody else, but the Holy Ghost hath made him an overseer. And look what it says, to feed the church of God. Do you know what I do every Sunday? I feed you. I don't give you Brussels sprouts, praise God, all right? But I feed you. Now, you know something? There's some things that my mama fed me that I didn't like. But I needed them. Now, all I wanted to do is, you know, eat the good stuff. But she wanted to feed me the fruits and the vegetables. And she wanted me to have the things healthy, nourishing for my body. I remember so often, you know, when we had our children and they were young, we'd say, you will eat those peas. Now, in my heart, I'm thinking, I'm not eating them, but you're going to eat them, you know? And my wife, I was like, that's right, you obey your mama, all right? But honey, don't feed me that, okay? But you know, it was good for them. They needed that. Can I say this to you? God has called me to be an overseer. I take that very seriously. The Bible says that a pastor is not to lord over the flock, but he is to oversee the flock. God has called me to do that. But let's look at this. Go back to the first part of verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Secondly, if you're not going to be moved, take heed to yourself. Now, I want you to hear me out. If you will listen carefully to your own words as you speak through the week, you're going to discover something, and I am going to discover something. We will discover that we complain more about what other people are doing rather than taking heed to our own life. Do you know what? It's easy to get upset about other people's sin and when we disregard our own sin. You know, sometimes the very thing that we complain about others, we are guilty of ourselves and yet we don't even see it because we're so consumed with other people. You know what Paul said? Take heed to yourself. Paul said, keep yourself right with God. Make sure that you are walking with Christ. Make sure, by the way, sometimes we can get so distracted by what everybody else is doing. Our kids, it's a joke in our house. We were in the store one day and a mom was getting on to her kids. And her kids were yelling at one another, but the mom yelled at the kids at the top of her lungs, stop yelling at your brother and sister. And we just thought that was hilarious because I'm like, okay, ma'am, you don't need to yell, you know? And she was upset about the very thing that her own kids were doing that she was doing. You know what? Sometimes you can get a bad spirit about someone else's bad spirit. You know, sometimes you can get an attitude about someone else's attitude. You know, sometimes we can get in the flesh about someone else being in the flesh. You know, the thing is, sometimes we can get so consumed about so-and-so, we can get so consumed and so, distracted about someone else's sin and someone else's disobedience that we forget to take heed to ourselves. That's right. To look at our own self. Listen, I have so much to deal with my own life that I don't have a whole lot of time for other people. Folks, let me say this to you. May God help us that we take heed to ourselves, that we walk with Christ of our own. By the way, there is a limit to what someone else can do for you. And what I mean by that is this. I am personally accountable to God for my own life. You know, I thank God for people that have influenced me and people that have helped me. I thank God for parents and a youth pastor and a basketball coach and people that had an influence in my life. But I had to come to the place where I was going to walk with God, where I was going to know His Word and I was going to spend time in prayer and I was going to be obedient to God. I needed to take heed to myself. Right. Men, can I encourage you with this? Take heed to yourself. Rather than complaining about what your wife does or does not do. Ladies, take heed to yourself rather than complaining about what your husband does or does not do. Let us keep our hearts right with the Lord. Let us, in fact, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Take heed to yourself. That's number two. Number three, here's the next thing. How can we keep from being moved? Number three, feed on God's Word daily. Now let's go back to verse 28. Notice what it says. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now, how do we feed ourselves? What is the food for the child of God? It is the Word of God. That we need to feed on God's Word daily. By the way, if you're going to be fed, then you must come to the house of God. That's a part of your feeding. But we need to feed ourselves daily with God's Word and get God's Word in our heart. It ministers to us. It heals us. It encourages us. It strengthens us. Let's go down, if you'll notice, verse 32. The Bible says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Do you know what God's Word does for us? It builds us up. It strengthens us. It gives us the nourishment that we need. By the way, we know very little about hunger. We really do. How many has ever heard a young person say, I am dying of starvation? Would you raise your hand? And how many of you know that they are not telling the truth, all right? You know, because they ate like 30 minutes ago, you know? You've been eating all day. You know, you are not dying of starvation. I want my son to hear this tonight. All right. But anyway, okay. He says to me, Dad, I'm not going to make it. I said, son, you will make it. Okay. You will make it till we get home. Okay. And anyway, but you know that somewhere in this world, 12,000 people die of hunger every day. Hunger is a real issue. Now, let me say this to you. The issue is not the supply of food. Did you know that we have enough food in our world to feed everybody? Can I tell you what the issue is? It is the distribution of the food.
That's right.
Can I say this to you, folks? All of us, we have Bibles. I mean, have you ever counted how many Bibles you have in your home? I mean, we have multitudes of Bibles. We have numerous Bibles that we have in our possession. And yet, do we feed on God's Word? Do we get it in our hearts? Brother, if you are going to not be moved, you've got to be in the Word of God. God's Word is what gives you that strength. That God's Word stables you. It settles you. It strengthens you. In fact, let's take our Bibles and go, if you would please, to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter 1. And I want to show you a few passages in Psalm that I pray that God can help us. By the way, if we are going to be Christ-like, we must feed on God's Word. Now, why do I use the word feed on God's Word? Because food is not to be just looked at. Food is not just to smell it. food is to be consumed. And that's what we must do with the Bible. The Bible is not just something that we look at or we hear. And I think it's great to hear the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I try to listen to the Bible and I try to hear it because I think it encourages me. Faith cometh by hearing. But can I tell you, we've got to consume the Word of God.
Right.
You know, food, we take it, we chew it, we digest it. We get nourishment from it. And that's what we must do with the Bible. Psalm chapter 1, notice what the Bible says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But look at this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice, he meditates on it day and night. He's thinking about it. It's what the cow does. The cow takes the food. He chews it. He deposits it into his stomach. And we know the cow brings it back up and chews on it again. It sounds terrible, but that's exactly what we are to do with the Word of God. We've got to hide it in our heart. Brethren, if you're not going to be moved, you must feed on God's Word. Let's read on. Look what it says in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Folks, do you know what? There's some Christians that are like the wind. They just go from one thing to the next. They're driven with the wind. They have nothing to settle them and to establish them. In fact, Psalm 16, verse 8. Would you turn over there? Psalm 16 and verse number 8. I want you to notice what this says. Now, folks, if we are not going to be moved, we must feed on God's Word daily. Psalm 16, 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I love that song. I don't know if it's in our hymnal, but I shall not be moved. Well, how can we not be moved? Because the Lord is at our right hand. The ideal there is a nearness to God. By the way, folks, the only way you can be near to the Lord is to get His Word in your heart. Listen, your home, God's Word must be read. It must be obeyed. Feed on God's Word daily. In fact, years ago, a missionary from India read a letter that he had received from an Indian man in his church. Now, he was in the States on furlough, and he had encouraged his people there in India to stay faithful to God, to be in His Word and in prayer. The missionary had been on furlough for about a year, and he received a letter. Now, you understand, it's a broken English, and here was what this man wrote to the missionary and said, Dear brother, we have missed you greatly while you have been gone, but we are trying to carry on. We are all studying the Word more faithfully than ever, and God has already been at work, and we are having a great... Now, he misspelled it, but I think he didn't. He said, we are having a great revival, is what he said. Well, you know, the idea is, he was meaning, we're having a great revival. But can I just encourage you with something? Whenever there is a re-Bible movement, there is a great revival. Amen. Getting back to the Bible, getting back to God's Word, back to what the Bible has to say. Listen, this is where we are grounded. This is where we will be faithful and secure and steadfast. Listen, you want to be faithful and finish the course? Then this must be a part of your life. It must be something that you delight in daily. It must be something that you meditate on day and night. God's Word is what holds you and fastens you. By the way, there's been times in life when I didn't know where to turn. I turned to the Lord. And I turned to His Word. And God has given me a verse. Something that I can just hold on to during the trial. Something that carries me through. Feed on God's Word daily. Number four, the last thing. Let's go back, if you would please, to Acts chapter number 20. How are we going to finish our course and not quit? How will you not be moved? Not moved. I spent many years as a youth pastor, and I thank the Lord for those years. I think about them often. You know what? I can think back to young people that were on course. They were loving the Lord, had a good spirit. They were doing what God wanted them to do. And then something came into their life, and now they're moved from where they should be. They're moved from that. I'm thankful that many of them are not moved. They're still following Jesus Christ. They are still doing what God wants them to do with their life. But how are you and me not going to be moved? Not moved. Well, God gives us. We don't shun any counsel of God. We obey the Lord. Yes to the Lord. We feed on God's word daily. We take heed to ourselves. Listen, don't get distracted. Don't get your eyes on other people. Take heed to yourself. But fourthly and lastly, commend all to God. And you say, Pastor, what does this mean? Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 20. And let's look at verse number 29. The Bible says this. For I know this. Now, I think this is significant. That after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. By the way, can I just say something right now? I believe that God brings a pastor, a shepherd to a church, and a shepherd can spot wolves. He can spot them. He knows where there's wolves. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. Wolves want to get into this church. They like to devour. They want that. And listen, can I say this? Trust the Lord and trust your pastor, because he can see wolves when maybe others cannot see them. I remember years ago, I remember my pastor, he was very upset about someone in our church. I couldn't see it, but later on it was revealed they were a wolf. But he was a shepherd and he knew it. And Paul said, I know what's going to happen. When I leave, grievous wolves are coming in, not sparing the flock. They don't care about the church. They don't care about people. They are wolves. Let's read on here. The Bible says this in verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And then he says this. This is where he closes with all of it. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The matter of commending to God involves releasing by faith. It involves releasing by faith. Now, hear me out. It is casting our cares on him. It is giving to the Lord what we must commend to him. Here is what Paul did. Paul said, I'm concerned about you. I know wolves are coming in, and I know men will come in and speaking perverse things and draw away disciples after them. And Paul said, I'm commending you to God. I'm trusting God to take care of you. I'm trusting God to work in your life. Over 23 years ago, when my wife and I had been married just 3 months, and we were leaving Knoxville, Tennessee, the Holy Land, all right? We were leaving. And I had never lived anywhere else except Tennessee and Kentucky, you know? But we were leaving to go to Peoria, Illinois. And we were leaving there, and I remember my dad gave me this verse, and he said, son, I commend you to God. You know what my dad was saying? Son, I'm releasing you by faith. I'm trusting God. I can't be there. I'm asking God to take care of you, and I'm releasing you to God. Now, hear me out. People who are growing in the Lord, who are having Christ formed in them, are people who are commending everything to God. They are trusting God with what they are dealing with. Now, hear me out. You know something, parents? We've got to commend our children to God. Amen. We've got to commend them to God. My two children are in college right now, and you say, do you worry about them? Absolutely. Do you get concerned about them? Absolutely. But what do? Commend them to God. That's right. I bring them to God. God, they're yours. They're not even mine. You gave them to me. They're on loan from you. And God, I commend them to you, and I pray they would walk with you and fear you and love you. Can I tell you as a pastor what I must do to our church? I commend you to God. I commend you. There's things on my heart that I just have to give to God and say, Lord, I release this by faith. I can't fix it. I cannot straighten it out. I cannot deal with it. I commend it to God. And maybe tonight you have things, unsolved mysteries, hurts, heartaches, sorrow in your life. You have never commended it to God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't give it to God, it will derail you in life. If you do not commend it to God, it's going to get you off course. You're not going to finish your course, and you're not going to finish your course with joy because you're not commending it to God. Do you not think Paul had some things to commend to God? What about fellow laborers? Or what about Demas? And what about people that he loved and cared for that turned on him? What do you think Paul did with all that? He commended it to God. Do you not think that Paul had things happen to him that God could have stopped happening from him, but God allowed Paul to suffer? He allowed him to have shipwreck. He allowed him to be in prison. He allowed all these things that we would think, wait a minute, God, that makes no sense whatsoever, but he commended it to God. It is releasing it by faith. By the way, can you imagine the tears and the sorrow that Paul had that day? When he was saying, I am giving you to the one that is greater than I am. I am commending you to God. I can't fix everything. There's some things I don't understand, but I'm laying it at the feet of the Lord. Listen, Paul was saying, I'm giving it to a sovereign God. And folks, there may be many people or many things in all of our lives that continually disrupt our unity, our peace, our joy. And we are trying to follow the Lord. We're trying to follow Christ. But yet these things disrupt us. These things bring disharmony in our heart and life. And we can't seem to solve it. We can't seem to come to some conclusion about it. We must commend it to God. Amen. We must say, God, I release it. Lord, I give it to you. I don't understand it, but I release it by faith. I surrender it to you at your feet. Years ago, I heard the story of a missionary that he was on the foreign field serving God, sacrificing, and his wife died. And boy, he had a hard time with that. But then his child died. And boy, he became so bitter. He became so discouraged. He became angry at God. He would not commend it to God. He came off the field and he became an alcoholic, a drunk. He became a bitter man. And then years later, he heard of what God had done on the mission field because of his service there. He met hundreds of people that had come to know Christ while he was there and what God was doing there. But can I tell you, he was moved. He was moved. Now look, I know there may be things in your life tonight that I don't have the answer for. I've got some things in my own life. Some things that disrupt us, things that can derail us. Can I tell you tonight? Give it to God. Commend it to God. It's kind of like the ideal that we take something that is almost, it has really become a part of our lives. We almost protect it. We almost guard it. And we bring that and we lay it at His feet and we say, God, there it is. You are the just judge. You make no mistake. And I give that to you. And now I must follow Jesus Christ. You know what? Some people won't follow the Lord because of what happened in their marriage years ago. They just can't follow the Lord. Some people can't follow the Lord because of a child. Some people can't follow the Lord because of what happened to them in a church years ago. Some people won't follow. They were derailed and now they have been moved. Tonight, I don't want to be moved. I want to finish the course. By the way, we don't know when Jesus Christ is coming again, but He is coming again. Amen. I know that He's coming. It's sure that He's coming. It is certain that He's coming. And I want to finish the course. Listen, all of us have heartaches. All of us have things that we do not understand. But tonight, don't be moved. Do not shun any counsel of God. Where's the last place you refuse to obey the Lord? Then go back there and make things right and obey Him. But secondly, take heed to yourself. Don't be distracted by the sin or by others that are moved. And thirdly, feed on God's Word daily. And fourthly, commend everything to God. Don't be move. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for this passage. Lord, it's a beautiful passage of Scripture. And Lord, it speaks to my own heart. And I pray tonight that you will deal with your people and deal with me. Search us right now. Show us, Lord, where we are being moved. Maybe in our thoughts. Maybe things we have never dealt with. Things we have not commended to Thee. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you something tonight. How many would be honest and you would say, Pastor, there's something in my life right now that I know that it is causing me to be derailed a little bit. It's causing me to be moved, and God has put His finger on it tonight. Something in your life, would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pastor, that's me. Amen. Amen. I appreciate your honesty. How many tonight would be honest and say, Preacher, there's some things where I have not heeded all the counsel of God, and God has dealt with me about something that I've shunned, I've avoided the counsel of God's Word. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? That's me. Amen. Amen. How many would be honest tonight and say, Pastor, I've gotten kind of off track because I've gotten my eyes on other people rather than taking heed to myself. Would you pray for me tonight? If that's you, would you lift your hand? That's me, Preacher. Amen. Amen. How many tonight would say, Preacher, God's dealt with me about feeding on His Word daily, and I need to do this. This is what I need. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? That's me. Amen. And how many tonight would have something that you know? Right now, you have something you need to commend to God. A trial, a heartache, something that a hurt, a pain. And you know you need to lay it at His feet and release it to God by faith. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, that's me, Preacher. I have something. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? Let's do business with the Lord tonight. We won't sing. Let's just have the pianist play. And I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. Brethren, let's not be moved. I don't want to be moved. I don't want you to be moved. Let's finish the course. Let's be faithful to Christ until He comes for each and every one of us. Father, bless tonight. Lord, help us to respond to You. Whatever You have dealt with us tonight, may we run to You this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The pianist begins to play. Would you come? God has dealt with you this evening. I want to thank for being here tonight, and boy, I love Acts chapter 20. It's one of my favorite. Of course, my life verse, verse 24 there. Let us take heed to all of this. Maybe you underline those things in the Bible. Let's not be moved. Don't be moved from where what God has called you to and what God has done in your life. Don't be moved. You know something? For the sake of your family, don't be moved. For the cause of Christ, don't be moved. And I pray God will help us. As we close in the Lord in prayer, I was just told that Nicole, I have all the details, but I think she went to the hospital tonight. So let's pray for her in a special way. I don't know any details, but let's lift her up in prayer. And then I want to ask you one last thing. Where's Brother Stevenson? There he is. All right. We need help in our choir. All right. Now, let me ask you something. How many's ever sang in a choir? Be honest. God is watching. Would you lift your hand, hold it up high? That's a lot of people, all right? Okay? And I want to encourage you. We need some choir members. And I know this morning we had some people sick and people out and all of that. The choir is a special part of church. It prepares the heart for the preaching of God's word. If you could help us, if you could help me and sing in the choir, Brother Stevenson's going to be right there, all right? And he's waiting for you tonight, okay? And now don't disappoint him, all right? If he's standing by himself, he'll go home and cry, all right? We don't want that, all right? But I want to encourage you, if you can help us and sing in the choir. You say, Pastor, I don't have a great voice. The Bible only says to have a merry heart and to sing, what, joyfully to the Lord, all right? And so help us. Men, we need some help. Ladies, we need some help. See Brother Stevenson tonight, and I know we had some new ones come in, but we need some help with the choir. Let's close in a word of prayer, and let's ask God to help us, we pray. Father in heaven, we do pray for Nicole right now. Lord, we don't know what is going on there with her, but we pray you'll give the doctors wisdom. Bless her. And Father, help us not to be moved. God, this church has been faithful to not be moved for many years, but Lord, may we not be moved here at Grace Baptist. May, Lord, all of us stay the course you put us on, and Lord, not to get sidetracked or distracted. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed. See Brother Stevenson tonight.